Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 463. In this podcast, we're going to go inside an Iowa caucus and put a coda on the coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm actually not in Iowa. I am in Tennessee at my friend John's house. I'm not going to use your last name unless you want me to, Dwight.
No, I prefer to remain anonymous. Just there's no telling what may be said here.
But you made a great comment today. So I bugged out of Iowa because I was afraid of getting caught in the snowstorm like the ABC News reporter, which is exactly why I went south immediately and headed for Tennessee, which is where I am now. Just what are we, east of Chattanooga?
We're east of Chattanooga, yes.
Okay. So, or as I refer to it today, Chattanooga!
Sure, that's the way we all say it.
Don't insult me. But you said, we were talking on the phone today, you called me, and I was still in, I guess I was in Kentucky this morning, and you said something that I thought was very interesting, because I posted a video of the people at the rural caucus that I went to, literally counting the votes. And you said...
And I mean, it was to a point, it was eye-opening to me because I'm a political junkie. I watch the Sunday shows. I've kept up with politics for 30 years. I've never seen inside of an Iowa caucus. I've never seen it with a hair hiding hooves on it, as in the people actually caucusing. It was a great experience. It was a good thing to see. It amazed me.
Yeah, well, and my son said the same thing, who has a political science major. He said... I don't understand what is a caucus? What is it? And the best way to explain it is all democracies have, as a base, this, even if you go back to Athens, all the citizens of Rome would gather to nominate, the guy who was going to be the council, the proconsuls and the consuls, right? And there was a much larger process, but the idea was all the citizens of the town, or whether it was the Venetian Republic or Rome or Athens, all the citizens had at some point, they had input to the process. And this is what this is. These are everyday people who come together to pick their precinct's nomination to be the presidential candidate by party. So they caucus by party. And one of my friend here, John Berg, will explain this in a second. But a lot of people just, they hear the word caucus, but they really don't. Basically, it's a people's congress. You know, if we use the term people's congress, we would think we were living in China. But it's a party congress of people who are going to nominate, even though it's a small party congress. When you add it all up statewide, then it accounts for the idea is it's an open process and all the citizens of the state could conceivably show up to caucus and nominate, or vote for one of the people on the slate.
And that's something that is, there's this little town in Vermont that they say is the people that vote first because they open the polls at 12:01 on November 1st, Tuesday,
right,
voting day. And all the people from the town all at once come in, vote, gone, 10-minute process. But that is something, it's nice to see democracy working that way as opposed to the big computerized punch card world and whatever nightmare they want to take voting to in the future to make it easier and on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Carly Farina. She wants you to be able to actually have plebiscites for smartphones. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So let's go inside the caucus. First, you're going to hear the explanation with my friend John Berg and my explanation of what kind of a place it was being held in, which will actually make you happy because we're here in the middle of nowhere in Tennessee. And then we'll actually go inside the caucus and hear the votes counted. And then John and I will be back to just kind of put a coat on it and deliver our thoughts in podcast 463. Well, I am really happy to welcome a brand new sponsor to the Bob Davis Podcast. I mentioned Brush Studio to you guys in one of the previous podcasts. So let me tell you about Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. Companies large and small love these team building exercises. And the way it usually works is if it isn't spending all day in a hotel conference room with the cold coffee and the whiteboard, you end up just being bored to tears and falling asleep, or you're headed off to a cliff somewhere for rope climbing whitewater rafting, rappelling down the cliff, or, God forbid, walking across coals. And it's great for the company athlete, but if you're not that guy, it's not so good. If you suggest new building team exercises in your group, or if you're the person who has to plan these things, listen up, because I'm going to tell you how to book a great new, sophisticated, and fun way to bond with employees and clients. It's Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed social setting. An artist guides the team through the featured painting step by step, and everybody has a great time. You don't have to have any experience painting. Your people are going to be amazed at what they're able to create and how different everybody's creation actually is. By the way, Gene and Jody at Brush Studio are ninja event planners and work to make each event special and unique, which is why they say a unique brush with art instead of coming away with bruises and scrapes from rappelling or whatever, or being bored to tears in the hotel room. You come away with a painting. It's a great opportunity for all the people on your team to bond without having to walk across coals. Brush Studio events are designed for left brain people to bring out the right brain, and that means ideas. And it's so much better than spending all day in the hotel conference room with the cold coffee. Now, there's room for 55 people there, plus catering from Crave in the West End. Brush Studio features over 22 brands of beer. Now we're getting to the good stuff. 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection. So here's what you do. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, or visit brushstudio.net, or reach out to Brush Studio, 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brush Studio. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. This caucus is being held on the Greene County Fairgrounds here in Jefferson, Iowa, in my dream home, which is a pole barn, a rather large pole barn. I couldn't even tell you how long it is. It's probably at least 100 feet long and maybe 50 to 70 feet wide. And it has hanging fluorescent lights and two massive garage doors at both ends. Great heat. It's insulated, clearly. The roof is insulated and the walls are insulated. There's bathrooms, and then there's a little kitchen right here, which they can open up. This is fantastic. And a really nice, coated, treated cement floor. And there are about 75 seats set up. How many rows? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then, yeah, it's about 100 seats set up. And there's people lined up at the door. Average age is probably 50. Good mix of men and women. I wanted a rural setting because I think that most coverage will be of something that media can see, something that they'll go to one in Des Moines. They'll go to, because then they're in position to go to all the big parties as well. So this is perfect for me. This is wonderful. I love it. So I'm standing here talking to my friend John Berg, who was kind enough to ask me into his caucus in Greene County, at the Greene County Fairgrounds in Jefferson, Iowa, where Ted Cruz appeared today. And John is going to be kind enough to explain what's going to happen here so people can kind of understand it.
Well, at 7 o'clock, promptly, they will lock the door. They will process the rest of the people who are standing in line. And then they will call the meeting to order. The county party appoints a chair, co-chair, and secretary to the process, but they're temporary. Though they're generally, in my experience, they're rubber stamped, and we have a vote, and they're rubber stamped.
Unless there's a problem.
Unless there's a perceived problem for some reason, or they seem biased or whatever. But generally, it's... it's rubber stamped in the. Then they begin by having speeches for each candidate. I think the county sets up the rules, and they have allowed 3 minutes per candidate.
So then these individuals will go up and speak for the candidate.
There's usually some representative come in, or they'll just, what they'll do is they'll just holler out, because they go through them in alphabetical order. They'll go, is there anybody here for so-and-so? And if someone stands up, they get the mic for 3 minutes. So they'll go through all the candidates, and then they'll have an opportunity to group up however they want and look for candidates that have less than 15% of the participants here. Those then will be eliminated from subsequent votes, and individuals then can realign with viable candidates. And that goes on until there's no under 15. And when everyone seems to be happy, then they call for a secret ballot paper vote. And that ends the presidential or the Republican candidate process at the caucus. Then after, and so that's done pretty early, we count the votes. Generally, each candidate can have a representative up at the table and go through the votes. I think in other counties, they have agreed to go through and count all the ballots. And then they sort them by candidate and allow each person to do it. My experience is usually a couple of people do it, and then as soon as we get, you know, as soon as it's gone two or three times in a row, and all the math is correct, then they go good. The rest of the people that have representatives go, that's enough. They fill out the summary ballot, and the secretary signs it. It is then there is somebody in the room with a.
That app.
An app, the Republican Party app, that they can then transfer into the Republican Party. And my understanding when I left, I believe that once the Republican Party gets 95% of the votes in, they'll announce.
Okay.
So, and this is a relatively small, though there's a lot more than I've seen in the past. There is a pretty good quantity of people here. Of course, I'm new to this.
They're lined up out there.
Yeah. And I'm new to this precinct. I just recently moved from a precinct, the East Precinct, which is the smallest precinct.
Across town. So this is a big deal to you. Yeah. This is big. This is
this
big
time.
I think
in ours over the East last time we had 10 people.
And so this is really hard to predict how are things. I just want to have I have one other question, which is, do you think that there's a factor or there's a process that you're sort of putting it on the line with your neighbors that makes this a little different than simply coming in and voting like you do in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I think so. For Iowa, it's interesting because people tend not to want to express their opinions or be counter to their. To their neighbors, they don't want to contradict them, so they're a little quiet, and it's pretty quiet, easygoing process. Here's an interesting anecdote: when I was down making phone calls for a candidate, some of the people around me kept saying, "I can't believe how many people are going on vacation over this." And I said, "And they were from callers from out of town." I said, "They're not. They just don't want to tell you who they're voting for."
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be on vacation.
And that's sort of what it's like. I mean, some people are more vocal than others, but most part, people will hold their cards pretty close to the chest just so, because they don't want to offend their neighbors or whatever, or be confrontational. This whole county is 95, little right around 9,600 people. That's the total size of the county.
Wow.
So you can know it's pretty easy to know a very high proportion of them.
Well, good. So, thank you.
Yep.
That's good information.
I am the temporary chair appointed by the Central Committee. My name is Lindsay Larson, and I'm currently a member of the Central Committee. But we are the rural townships that surround Jefferson all the way to the county line on the south. It's great to have a good crowd tonight. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are here to do several things tonight as the Republican Central Precinct Caucus. We are to do a straw poll for presidential candidates. We are to select precinct people for the Greene County Republican Central Committee. We are to also select delegates to the county convention, alternates to that same convention, and junior delegates to that same convention, which is March 12th at the courthouse. And then finally, we are to come up with some planks on issues if you so desire.
You know, with all this politicking, you might think about flushing. It might remind you of the need to flush, right? Because of politics sometimes can just be so overwhelming. And so can pipe and plumbing and toilet problems if you're living in Minnesota with the freezing and the thawing, especially with all of the snow that hit the Midwest this week. And of course, I'm in Tennessee, so I have not experienced that. It is beautiful here. But here's the thing. If you've got an emergency plumbing problem, you need to call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, metro-wide from St. Paul, which means it doesn't matter where you are in the metro, they have a plumber there that can get to you. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. So if your business has an emergency, same deal. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. And thanks, Greg, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts.
So my name is Bill Sutton. I'm caucusing for Dr. Ben Carson. Tonight, everyone's going to say that their candidate is the best choice. Their candidate will fight for whatever you want to hear. But I'm caucusing for Dr. Ben Carson because he's never felt the need to bow to political correctness. Unlike many politicians, Dr. Carson's moral compass does not bend when the times get tough or when the polls make compromise convenient. Dr. Carson has strength, judgment, clarity, and trustworthiness that can inspire America forward. Dr. Carson is also a humble man. He's more likely to talk to God in prayer than to talk about himself. So we need a leader who is willing to pray in the White House. We all know his story, raised in Detroit, in the ghettos, had to overcome that situation, and did so, pulling himself out of poverty by hard work, prayer, and determination. When there's a late night call in the White House, America needs the strength and judgment of Dr. Carson. He's been through this countless times in his life as he's served children and people in the operating room. He's the man that I can trust to keep America safe. Well, some people will say he's not loud enough. He doesn't want to interrupt during the debates. He doesn't want to squeeze in the line. Well, you don't heal people by yelling at them. And our nation needs a lot of help in a lot of ways. And we won't heal it by yelling at it either. The task before us will require judgment and good diagnosis for how to revive America. So God has blessed America. God has blessed Dr. Carson, just as he has blessed many of the candidates currently running. What I like about Dr. Carson is he's taken these blessings and given them back to help others, specifically children. Dr. Carson has an economic plan. It was called the best by the Wall Street Journal of any tax plan that'll help America recover. Okay, well, stay with Dr. Carson. Stay with me tonight. America will be in safe hands.
Okay, third on our list is Chris Christie. Speaker for Chris Christie. Seeing none, I will move to Ted Cruz.
I'm Berg. I'm new to this precinct. I was in the East View prior to this. I went real quick. I'm here to support Ted Cruz. There are four things required for me to support a candidate. The first, he must be a Christian with long history of dedication to the Lord our God and Jesus. He must have a long history of being a strict constructionist with regard to the Constitution. must have a long principled history of saying what he's going to do and doing what he says. Must have a proven track record of running successful campaigns. Senator Cruz meets the first criteria. His family turned to God 40-some years ago during a time of personal crisis, and their faith has never wavered. Ted's father became a Baptist minister, and Ted has become a staunch advocate for the rights of the unborn. Senator Cruz has a Harvard degree. He graduated first in his class, was a law clerk for Justice Rehnquist, and had argued constitutional law in front of the highest court of the land. We'll always stand with the founding fathers of this country and fight for the original intent laid down in our founding document. I've watched Senator Cruz since he was Solicitor General in Texas and on through his run for Senate. He has never wavered from his Christian beliefs or his dedication to the Constitution. The next president could appoint up to 4 Supreme Court justices. Currently, we are 1 liberal justice away from utter destruction of the Constitution. I'm confident that in what type of person President Cruz would appoint. Can you say the same about your candidate? I watched a senatorial campaign, and I've watched his Iowa campaign over the last few months. He has raised $50 million from almost 750,000 deep donors with an average contribution of $66. He has put together an incredible, diverse grassroots organization in his Texas race and the current Iowa race. I personally have many conversations with the senator and find him genuine and down-to-earth person, ready to listen to my thoughts and ideas. There isn't an arrogant bone in his body, and he has prayed a number of times to my wife, Christy. Thank you. Please consider Ted Cruz.
I've been told that only 3 of the top candidates really matter. And if that's the case, we have a large number here at the lower end who are not receiving very much support. And I've never seen in my life such a good selection of people. I could vote for almost any of these, but I would ask you to, if you're in mind to select one of these lower people, switch your votes to Cruz.
Speakers for Carly Fiorina. Jim Gilmore. Mike Huckabee. Next is John Kasich.
I was thinking I wanted to give the 3 minutes to Robert so he could go on and speak.
I'm a constitutionalist. I believe in checking it out first.
I'm going to rule that's out of order. And if you as an audience want to challenge that, you certainly can. Okay, if there's no motion to challenge, we will move on. Rand Paul, Marco Rubio.
Hi, my name is Melissa Schilling. I am speaking this evening on behalf of Marco Rubio, the best candidate to unite conservatives, defeat Hillary Clinton, and restore the safety and strength of America. Marco has lived the American dream, and he's running for president because he wants your children and mine to live it too. He knows what's wrong with America today and how to fix it, but he doesn't stop there. Marco also knows what's right about America. He understands that this is the greatest country on earth, and it's our generation's turn to ensure that it stays that way. To preserve American exceptionalism, we need a president who will crush our enemies, reverse Obama's disastrous legacy, and be guided by an unwavering faith in God. Marco Rubio has proven that he, above all others, can be that president. He is the only candidate with the experience and judgment to be commander-in-chief, and the only one with a real plan to destroy ISIS, halt Iran's nuclear program, and protect Israel. And there's a reason that Hillary Clinton is reported to be terrified of facing Marco Rubio, because he's unafraid to call her out for the liar that she is. And he has an unmatched ability to inspire Americans with an optimistic, conservative message. 2016 is our last best chance to leave our kids with a country as exceptional as the one that our parents left us. We cannot afford to squander it by nominating the wrong person. Tonight I'll be caucusing for Marco Rubio because I want this to be the new American century. And I invite you to join me. Thank you.
So some of these people are taking things right off the internet and reading them, which is interesting. They know what they're going to say, and they know how to say it.
There is approximately a minute left on for Marco Rubio, if there was someone else who wanted to. Yes, sir.
My name is Joe Dorn. I live down in Greenbrier. And Marco Rubio, he can at least say a whole sentence without stopping, like our president now. And he's willing to work with some pretty despicable Democrats to get something done. And I just think he would be probably a pretty good president.
Okay, that fulfills the two speakers, so that is all we can have on Marco Rubio. Next is Rick Santorum, Donald Trump. Bill?
Hey, everybody, thanks for coming. It's an awesome turnout. So on Thursday, I watched three senators stand on stage and say that they didn't mean what they said. They talked out of both sides of the mouth, and they tried to land on every side of every issue. And this really disgusts me because in 2008, we elected the man who wrote the book on talking out of both sides of his mouth. We elected him with an expectation to lead, and we got nothing even close to leadership out of him. The only man that showed leadership Thursday night was 5 miles away raising money for veterans. Ronald Reagan inspired our nation to accomplish lofty but reasonable goals with simple, direct messaging. Fancy rhetoric that these senators love to use dances on the happy line of political correctness, but it doesn't inspire. It doesn't provide direction or motivation. As conservatives, for many years, we win races, we lose some races, and the needle never seems to change. Public policy never shifts in a conservative direction. If you want true policy reform in Washington, D.C., you're going to have to break the status quo. You're not going to do it by electing somebody that's been rubbing elbows with big donors and legislators in committee. On January 20, 2017, I don't want America to say, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I'm caucusing for Donald Trump, because he possesses the conviction and leadership that I want in my president. And at the end of the day, I'd rather have a leader who cares about winning the war on public policy than a lawyer who cares about winning verbal arguments. Thank you.
Okay, there is a minute 30 approximately left for Donald Trump. Jim?
This guy's wearing a Trump t-shirt. And a red Make America Great hat.
Hi, my name is Jim Amon. And everything what Phil said, I agree. Over 40 years ago, I came to Iowa going to Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa. I came from Illinois. And I was following this little caravan with a big bus in front of it. And I pulled up into this small community. And I pulled up next to the bus and said Ronald Reagan on the side. I go, wow, that's kind of cool. I'm following a presidential candidate. And I'm just a young whippersnapper. Time goes on. Last 2 years we put up with Obama. The Affordable Care Act, y'all don't like that? It's a mess. You have no idea where your applications even go. IRS, Homeland Security, Social Security, and I go to another agency too. It's just a real mess. Donald Trump, when he came on, the thing that he talked about, the first thing, was border. And if he would have never mentioned about putting a wall up, stopping the immigrants coming across and across, we would have never been talking about this the way we are now. He's got guts, he's got balls. Hey, he does. And if you've never read The Art of the Deal, you should read that book. Because the Iran deal they made, my time's up, when Iran can inspect their own field.
Okay, we've gone through our speakers, through the list, and now I'm going to ask Beth and Christy to pass out the ballots. The ballot contains the names that we've just gone through in alphabetical order. You will mark one, or you can mark the bottom as other and write someone in if you so desire. I have previously asked Mike Simke and Jesse Custer if they would tabulate the ballots when we have all balloted. And the rules state that representatives of those candidates, if they desire, can be present while those ballots are being counted.
And you know, if there's 100 people, 75 people in the room, you know, 6 or 7 people, 10 or 11, 6 or 7 people can really make a huge difference. And this is why caucuses are really about organization. And I guess really what's at stake here is this question of whether or not people are driven to a caucus because of the dynamism of a candidate in the case of Donald Trump, or if they're driven to caucus because of organization in the case of Rand Paul. That's it. And, you know, these people know what to do. They filled out their little ballots and on a piece of paper, which is what I said originally, and okay, they pass them down. It goes into the hopper, and they'll go in the back and count them.
Get a ballot. Everyone got a ballot. Okay.
Now, this started 20 minutes ago, basically. And seeing this, and there's other business to be conducted at this event this evening, This is a positive thing. This renews my faith in people, because this is not something that anybody who's seen this knows how to do this. Now, should there be more people here? Yeah, but this is a pretty good turnout for this caucus.
Yeah, I came away from that experience, and I've caucused up in Minnesota too, and it was the same experience. A lot of times when you watch stuff on television, like you were saying earlier, John, you were talking about you know, watching all the Sunday morning shows and things like that, and you get this sense of especially in Iowa, the optics are all designed to look great on television. And then when you go to these events, they're not that big. I mean, it's a very, very literally retail political thing where these guys are literally as close as you and I are here in the ambulance. So it renews your faith in citizens. And you know me, I'm cynical about Iowans anyway. I'm cynical about the whole. I mean, you're from Tennessee. Apparently, this is a forgotten backwater in the, because you don't have the first caucus in the nation or something. I mean, it's like, how do you feel here in a place like Tennessee when you see Iowans on television for a year?
And that is something. We do see them for a year, although we really don't see what they do until that one night that they do it. But and we probably are not like a poor Iowan that gets their phone rung off the hook for a year from various candidates wanting to speak to them. But here, we're part of the SEC primary, as they call it.
Oh,
we're,
the Southern, what
we're
is it called?
Super Tuesday SEC, like Southeastern Conference.
This is one of the reasons I'm here, aside from seeing a high school friend.
Exactly. You know. But they call it the SEC primary. It's basically the Southeastern Conference. College schools are all in the states where the Super Tuesday primary is. And we are generally ignored. Tennessee votes rather reliably in various directions. I can tell you right now it's going to be Hillary. Whether it's Trump or Cruz, I don't know. But either one, those will be the two primary winners in this state. And there's very little they can do in terms of money.
And this is a, you go in,
it.
You go in and vote.
I go in and vote. It's just like any other voting day.
Right.
You go in. We use punch cards here. We punch them. We put them in the machine. We go home.
And the thing about primaries, and this is also true of the caucuses, the only place where it's, I think New Hampshire has the highest response in the country, and it's 15%. So we're talking about very low percentages of the people. And again, if this is supposed to be a people's Congress by party, is this an open primary in Tennessee? Or is it?
It is an open primary. That is correct.
If it's supposed to be an opportunity for everybody in the state to weigh in for this state's delegates to the national conventions, basically, it's what it is. And as Iowans describe it, we're vetting these candidates for you, which irritates me because no one asked them to do that.
You know, we they volunteered.
Say, hey, yeah. Iowa, could you please vet these candidates? But in any case, It's very low turnout, which is really surprising.
And in 2012, it was 7% here in Tennessee. Maybe a little bit higher this time because I suspect there'll be a little frenzy for Trump in the state, on the assumption he's still in. Who knows? It's a month away. But still, we're looking down range. This state is reliable enough that there's not a lot of money spent. There's not a lot of campaigning in this state. We just go along to get along. They're probably some of the Southeastern Conference states, the SEC states, that will be a bigger fight, more of a surprise. South Carolina is going to be important for a number of candidates.
Which is where I'm headed next.
Which is where you're headed next. And I think you're going to find some interesting stuff there. The airways will be filled with candidates there. In Tennessee, you can listen to the radio or watch TV and not know anyone was running.
Really?
Really.
Once again, thanks to Greg Ryan for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast, Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service. I'm going to leave it at that because I know the weather is crazy in Minnesota, at least has been for the last couple of days, and we have the freezing and the thawing, and that can cause huge problems. Water heaters, toilets, pipes. If you have an emergency and you need emergency service, they take a lot of emergency service calls. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. So Invergrove and Plymouth and Golden Valley and the North Metro. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Residential and business. 651-224-4771 or 612-927-6488. Thanks again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. And again, welcoming Brush Studio in the West End. If you are looking for a great corporate team building exercise, give them a call because you'd be amazed at what they're able to do, creating a great social event for you to really build a team that will, they'll remember this event if you do anything at Brush Studio. Remember, they're in the West End in St. Louis Park. Give them a call, 952-236-1700, 952-236-1700. Or check them out at brushstudio.net, or you can just click on the Brush Studio banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com. Of course, I am, as I said, in Tennessee at my friend John's house. John has been a pilot for years. In fact, I think you were dabbling in that when we were in high school.
Yes, indeed. Soloed at 16, got my license at 17.
So you understand angle of attack, and you're going to read the digital tag for Alpha Systems.
If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landing, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line, Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banner for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the BobDavisPodcast.com.
And it's FAA approved, which is also handy.
Cool. That's the most important part. If the Friendly Airplane Association likes it, it's got to be good.
Thanks for listening to Podcast 463. Thanks, you guys, for listening on... I was going to call it Twitcher. Stitcher.com. iTunes. TuneIn. Of course, blogtalkradio.com. And if you're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show on GCN Live, great. Let me know what you think. And I got to mention, thanks for the donations. In fact, today, if you were checking out Facebook, you saw my little Komodo Dragon coffee purchase that I did. I ran out of coffee already on this trip, and I've only been out a week and a half. So thanks again for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 4-63. John, it was great having a co-host. I love that.
It was great being here.
42. Tonight's results are, we had 7 candidates receive votes. First place with 42 votes was Donald Trump. Second place with 39 votes was Ted Cruz. Third with 15 votes was Marco Rubio. Ben Carson was next with 6 votes. Rand Paul was next with 5, and there was a tie between Jeb Bush and Chris Christie with 3 votes apiece.
Thank you, Mike.